listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Off go the crows from the roof. The crows can't hold on. They might as well be perched on an oil slick. Such an awkward dance. These gentlemen in their spotted black coats, such a tipsy dance. As if they didn't know where they were, such a humorous dance. As they try to set things right, as the wind reduces them, such a sorrowful dance. How embarrassing is love when it goes wrong in front of everyone. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on Monday, and it's also a very special day. It's your birthday.
Yes, it is, and I just found out it is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day too. For those of you out there that like PB&J, shouts out to you.
Exactly. And of course, you know, if you've never heard the show, hi, I'm Rod.
I'm Karen.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our southeastern communities. We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that TBGWT News produces. But we're concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
Okay.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets published these same fake stories. Stories that just aren't true, without checking the facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think. This is extremely dangerous to a democracy. At TBGWT, it's our responsibility to pursue and report the truth. We understand truth is neither politically left nor right. Our commitment to factual reporting is the foundation of our credibility, now more than ever. But we are humans, and sometimes our reporting might fall short. If you believe our coverage is unfair, please reach out to us by going to tbgwt.com and clicking on content concerns. We value your comments, and we will respond back to you. We work very hard to seek the truth and strive to be fair, balanced, and factual. We consider it an honor and a privilege to responsibly deliver the news every day. Thank you for watching, and we appreciate your feedback.
You wrote this?
No, I did not write that. Okay. The people that pay for our station wrote that and said I had to say it. So.
Oh, okay. Because I'm sitting here going, okay, oh, this is brand new. I'm like, what the hell have I been? I missed the meeting.
Everybody knows that we're funded by Sinclair Media.
No, we is not.
We have to make sure that we read the propaganda that was sent. Mm-hmm. Or we'll be off the air, Karen.
We is not, because if we was, I would probably have a relaxer. You know, news stations don't like natural hair, black natural hair.
Over the last week or so, television anchors across the country have joined together to paradoxically warn viewers about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news story plaguing our country. The identical, seemingly earnest editorial messages paid lip service to the importance of fact-checking and unbiased reporting, but they also complained about false news and fake stories. If that seems to echo the rhetoric of President Donald Trump, it's probably because the statement was written by one of his allies. The anchors were forced to read the so-called journalistic responsibility messages word for word by their employer, the conservative-leaning Sinclair Broadcast Group.
You know what? I've heard about them, and on the low, a lot of people say they are very, very dangerous. And I think, I don't know if we read it or not, but they require them to read something similar to this, like, for a long time. And, like, one of the news stations in their quote-unquote way to boycott, they would do their thing, like, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, when they knew wasn't nobody listening or nothing like that. Mm. But the thing is people go to news... Well, traditionally, people go to, like, the news, like, you know how your mama and daddy sat down while I wouldn't do all that stuff. They go to it to find out what's happening in the world, to keep themselves informed. A lot of people, pre-internet age, this was the only way to find out something. A lot of people, I know me in particular, every now and then I might watch the news in this format, but most of the time I don't. Most of the time I consume news through the internet, but a lot of people still, even if they do use the internet and are internet savvy, a lot of people still consume the news this way, and it's very dangerous because when you look at other countries, they have state-run media and shit like that, and it's one of those things where that's not free media. you know, that's not somebody actually finding out things about the government itself and officials and shit like that. You're just regurgitating shit because you don't want to lose your job, because you're, the people that actually fund you are actually very biased, and this is their way to pretend like they're not biased, but this is very biased for you to require them to say something like this.
Yep. Think Progress rounded up many of the store segments and put out a chilling video on YouTube.
Okay, I haven't seen
I have it in the chat. Is it showing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to play it. Then Deadspin's Timothy Burke published a more terrifying version Saturday that basically shows all of the anchors saying it at the same time, synced up in unison. Because before they had another video that was just like each one of them doing it separately, but this is all of them kind of together.
Right, so now you know they're actually reading the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about the trouble in trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false news
has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Yep.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not a quote-unquote coincidence that all of a sudden they're required to read this word for word, when probably that's some of their highest times, which is probably anywhere between 5 to 7, which is when most people get home and settle down and watch the news.
Of course, you can find this podcast, Blackout Tips, on the blackouttips.com. Feel free to leave us feedback and let us know what you think. You can also do stuff like vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can donate to the show on the first page. Just look on the right hand side. All that stuff. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. All right, let's get into it. You know, I was thinking yesterday too. You know, Pornhub did a thing to their website where they turned it to Hornhub, and it was like a April Fool's Day prank.
Okay,
but I was like, I wonder if there's April Fool's Day porn, because there's like porn for everything else. There's like porn for like St. Patrick's Day and Christmas porn and shit.
I
wonder if there's like April Fool's Day porn, but like you click on the porn and then it takes you to a video about toxic masculinity. And you end up learning something about yourself.
They probably do, but I doubt that's what it does. You probably will still get like, they ain't gonna be that cruel.
It's not foolish enough. If it's actual porn, then I don't feel fool. It's like,
maybe right.
It can Rickroll you or something. Like, you click on the porn and it's just, oh yeah, thank you for delivering this pizza. I'm about to suck yo. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna, like that shit. That would be dope. A dick roll.
Yes, it's making me think too. I think it would be where they pulled the prank and the prank turned them on. Like, I could see porn twisting it like that.
Well, but they
like
do that. Said, they have that kind of porn already, but not, it's not an April Fool's Day porn. That's okay. Just some type of porn prank shit they do. You know, white people think of everything.
Yeah,
Winnie Mandela died today.
I was hearing that.
She's 81 years old, former wife of Nelson Mandela. She had a long illness, a family spokesperson said, and she passed away. She was married to Nelson Mandela for 38 years, 27 of them while he was in prison. And she became an icon while he was in prison, because of her fight against apartheid as well. So it's, yeah, black legend passing on. I understand her legacy was kind of controversial to a lot of people, though. You know, people accuse her of fraud and all kinds of stuff, so I don't know about all that, and me staying either out of it, because I don't know what the fuck happened. Anyway, Eagles of Death Metal frontman Jesse Hughes apologizes for calling survivors of Parkland shooting vow. I've never heard of Eagles of Death in my life.
No, is that a rock band? Rock
I don't
group?
Yeah, I don't know if, yeah, I guess they're a band.
That sound like
death metal.
Yeah, sound like a heavy metal group.
Yeah. He took to Instagram on Saturday and posted a 1 minute video, which he admitted he should have handled this a lot more maturely. Recently, I made some posts on my Instagram that did not communicate how I feel about a variety of topics. What I'd intended to be a statement about the hijacking by any side of the aisle of the beautiful agenda of a movement of our nation's youth came off seeming like a mean-spirited personal attack and slight on the youth themselves, and even a personal attack on this leadership.
That's what it was. I'm tired of people going, you said what you said, quit this bullshit. We be hearing your words, we read them and shit like that, but it's not a problem until you're forced to apologize because people get in your ass because the shit you said was ignorant. Saying nothing is absolutely positively free. You said what you said and you meant it.
Hughes himself is a survivor of a mass shooting. After ISIS militants stormed the Bataclan in Paris while he was performing with his band in November 2015, shooting and killing 89 people and injuring dozens more. The singer posted five times about gun control protests, including one where he wrote, "Student survivors were capitalizing on the deaths of their classmates by staging protest walkouts." He shared an illustration of a woman telling a man, "I turned in my gun to do my part of ending violence," before he replies, "I chopped off my own dick to stop rape."
Yeah, you meant that. You posted five times. Because he thinks that's the same. That's fucking stupid. Yeah, he thinks
I'm
that's
trying
the
to
same.
See how that would be bad, though. I mean, that probably would stop most rape.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to see what the analogy, how the analogy was supposed to be like. Wow, now this has gotten a bit ridiculous.
Because I'm telling you one thing, a dildo ain't never raped me, you know.
I mean, nah, you can rape someone with a dildo. That's not getting carried away,
the,
but
the
I'm just saying.
The dildo itself, like if me and the dildo in the room, the dildo ain't going to overpower me and take over on me.
Yeah, I mean, there's other forms of sexual assault, but I'm just saying in general, that analogy just doesn't work from a comedic standpoint.
Correct.
And it also just really feeds into the whole phallic symbolism of that having a gun and, you know, no dick. In a caption accompanying the post, Hughes accused the teen Parkland shooting survivors of exploiting the death of their classmates and teachers for a few Facebook likes and some media attention. Let me tell you something, guys. As a person that probably gets more social media attention than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it out like that. You're not just saying it for attention. Attention's overrated as fuck.
Come on.
Can't pay no bills with attention. Most people are stupid, so you end up interacting with a lot of stupid people and their attention. A lot of people just be on social media to star some shit. It ain't what you think it is. Like, it ain't all that attention shit. Unless you're some type of sociopath that just doesn't give a fuck about anyone's opinion of you. I don't think that's what this is. Like, I think these kids ended up thrust into the spotlight because they survived and they don't want anyone else to go through it.
Right.
I mean, if they're not real protesters and they're not real leaders of a movement, then who the fuck is?
Yeah, and a lot of this, in my opinion, backlash towards these students is because, truth be told, people love the status quo, and nobody will ever be willing to admit that. People love the status quo. People that fight against change this hard, they love the status quo because the status quo benefits them. That's why men don't want women to be paid the same. That's why you have men that fight against equal rights. That's why you have men that fight against SJWs and trans rights, because the status quo benefits them and they don't have to change. And a lot of times, that's what that is. That's a backlash to you forcing me to change. And all groups have a tendency to do this. Anybody that's in the privileged group has a tendency to do that. Straight people do it. Black men do it. You know, white women do it. A lot of groups have a tendency to do this because they don't consider the little change that they're asking you to do is a drop in the bucket compared to the oppression that they've had to deal with. Your little bit of being uncomfortable, your little bit of shedding tears or your feelings hurt is a drop in the bucket compared to the decades and the centuries sometimes of things that this oppressed group had to go through.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, I think all this shit starts and stops at people don't want to give up their guns. And that's it.
Right.
It's like, you can apply all this altruism and logic to it and all this shit. And, you know, when it comes to black people, it's, well, because white people got guns. Okay, well, if I made sure that all white people in America had to give up their guns, theoretically, then would you give up your gun? I mean, no, you like having your gun. You like that. You like that you can feel like you got a chance to stop some shit or whatever, even though the likelihood of that happening is better than, you better be struck by lightning than your gun actually interfering in an altercation that happened to you, you know, that you didn't start, or you killing your wife because you found out she cheated, or you killing yourself because you got depressed, or your kid killing somebody or killing themselves because they got a gun and they don't know what to do with it, you know, or even worse, you do train them, they do know what to do with it, and they use that shit for something fucked up because they kids. And not a kid, we don't even let kids drink until they're 21, we don't even let kids vote until they're 18, but we let kids have guns at a young age, unless you Tamir Rice. So yeah, I think a lot of this stuff with all these people, it makes sense what they're saying because they want to keep their guns. So the activist kids must be faking it. The Parkland shooting must not be real. The everybody must be getting paid to go protest. No one really cares. They just want to put it on Instagram. Everything starts and ends with, as long as I can keep my, what do I have to say to keep my gun? Cause they're willing to say it. And it's really disgusting, but that's the state of the world we live in. But yeah, fuck this dude. You know, I mean, all that apology shit that you don't really mean. Mm-hmm. Once again, cause you know it's cause people actually rallied to those kids' defense and got in his motherfucking mentions.
Right.
And had him scared about his concerts and his band probably was like, man, what the fuck was that, dog? You got us out here looking stupid.
Right. People gonna be out here fucking protesting us. Like I said, you said what you said, but you didn't care until the backlash, because that's normally when the apology came for, because if you were willing to stand by your words, you would not have backed down.
Right. So when they come for you, all of a sudden you stuttering.
Where? Like when you like start call, like you got those.
Right. Whenever they see they mentions blowing up, their eyes get big. They be stuttering to find that logic. Let's see what else happening in the world today, guys. Oh, I just thought this was interesting. I saw this on somebody's page on Facebook that I follow, Sharonda, and I thought it was really cool. It said, "I'm slowly learning that I don't have to react to everything that bothers me."
I read that and I was really made me think. I've actually, the older I've gotten, the better I am about that, about, you know, responding to things. Particularly if you're somebody that's in the corporate world, you have to learn really, really quickly to let things go and not let shit bother you, or else you be wanting to choke a bitch in the office over the most simplest shit because white folks is crazy and, you know, being in corporate America is just stressful enough, and then you have to deal with microaggression bullshit in a place where it really shouldn't be there, but it is. So the older I've gotten, the better I've just learned, particularly my face, because my facial expressions always tell you how I feel. So I've gotten better to quote unquote have more of a poker face. I ain't quite always got there, but I'm a lot better.
Yeah, well, this is less about that, more about online stuff, it seems, okay, from what I read. But I mean, I guess it's just as valid and applies offline as well.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, it's by Rania Name. I don't know if I hope I pronounced that right. And it's on thoughtcatalog.com, which is also the place where I think I found those horoscopes that time. That was pretty cool. Pretty,
okay.
So they have cool stuff from time to time. So yeah, it says, "I'm slowly learning that I don't have to react to everything that bothers me." I'm slowly learning that I don't have to hurt those who hurt me. I'm slowly learning that maybe the ultimate sign of maturity is walking away instead of getting even.
It is.
Yeah, in a world where pettiness prevails and fucking, like, I'm petty and I don't forgive and all that shit, and you know, it's like we and like the social media aspect of it, because so much of what we do is tied into social capital and popularity and dopamine from clicks and likes and retweets and shit.
Mm-hmm.
People that are looking at each other as entertainment more so than humans,
right,
fellow people, they encourage the actions that are more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a fight with someone, you have a disagreement with someone, most people want to see you fight with that person in public. They don't want to see that shit happen behind closed doors. If you have somebody tells you something in confidence, you gotta run to the internet and be like, I know a secret, I know something, you know, as opposed to just, well, that's that business, and they told me that I don't need to tell anybody that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of is rewarding this almost like reality TV behavior, but we're people and we're not getting paid to be reality TV people.
No, we're
but
not.
How many times have we watched people fall out on social media? People you thought were friends, people you thought were close, putting each other's business out there, dragging, and then the next day you have to just move on because none of that shit really matters, because no one cares about those people,
right,
beyond how much entertainment they got out of that fight.
Right, but you know what's real? The hurt, the pain. You know what's real? People dealing with, you know, the depression and the heartache and shit like that that was attached to the confrontation. The confrontation is real.
Well, also people are looking for, people are looking online for solutions to shit that I think honestly take, it starts offline, like things going on in your life.
Right.
I'm slowly learning that the energy it takes to react to every bad thing that happens to you drains you and stops you from seeing other good things in life. I'm slowly learning that I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and I won't be able to get everyone to treat me the way I want to be treated, and that's okay. I'm slowly learning that trying so hard to win anyone is just a waste of time and energy, and it fills you with nothing but emptiness. Yep. That, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a true statement, particularly if you're like me. I'm a lot better as I've gotten older, but when I was younger, I used to be a people pleaser, and I'm talking about to the point where people would just flat just use me and abuse me very, very bad. And if you're somebody like that, you seek these things. You seek people approval. You want everybody to like you. You know, you do things that go out of your way when you actually shouldn't. And it's one of those things to where instead of me realizing that I was the problem, I would get mad at other people. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. And once I decided, hey, I'm the common factor in all this, I removed myself, I restructured my life, and now I don't mind saying we can't be cool. You know, I might not tell you that, but I'm like, hey, we can live in the same universe and be all right.
Yeah, I think also, especially with online communities, there's also like a community of people where the socialization and the reward structure of the relationships are about reacting to shit.
Yes.
So it's like, this thing happened, you didn't react this way to this thing, therefore you don't care about this thing, or you don't care about me, or you don't care about this relationship or whatever. And people check each other on that, like they think that currency applies to life, but the thing is, bad shit never stops happening.
No,
so
doesn't.
You exhaust yourself, and a lot of it becomes performative, because it's like you have to be X amount of mad about blank that you were about blank, and it becomes this thing where you didn't talk about this, you didn't say that, when you talked about it, you talked about it as long as you talked about this, you didn't do this thing, like, and so I do think there's people that find themselves kind of trapped in a structure of, I have to consistently be talking about and reacting to shit all the time,
right?
And especially when it's something that happens to you, like it affects your group. You know, how many black people in just the last year or so have you seen be like, man, I can't keep reacting to all this, like, black death, all this videos of people getting killed by the police and shit. I can't be up for this every day, because it'll, I have to concentrate on some good things. I have to concentrate on some things for my personal sanity, or else I drive myself insane.
Yes, you will. Like I said, everybody's different, and everybody, I feel like it's all for mental health. I know me and how I function. I tapped out a lot of that shit a long time ago. It don't mean I don't care, but I'm not watching no video. That's just me. I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to hear it to believe it. You know, everybody's different. But watching that stuff and watching somebody's life slowly goes the way it chips at you. You can't sit here and tell me that it does not slowly chip at you. Because the person dying is real. And I think everybody responds to that differently. So I could see some people get to the point where they just, I will still respond to things, but I can't respond to everything. And a lot of times for your own mental health, and people that act like if you're not outraged about everything, you're not outraged about anything. And that's not a true statement.
I'm slowly learning that not reacting doesn't mean I'm okay with things. It just means I'm choosing to rise above it. I'm choosing to take the lesson it has served and learn from it. I'm choosing to be the bigger person. I'm choosing my peace of mind because it's what I truly need. I don't need more drama. I don't need people making me feel like I'm not good enough. I don't need fights and arguments and fake connections. I'm slowly learning that sometimes not saying anything at all says everything.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thing. It's tons of maturity, man, especially in personal relationships like that. Because there's been times where, like, someone pisses me off and I'm like, I can air this nigga out if I want to. And everybody will side with me because everybody will be like, yes, that was fucked up, blah, blah. That's what the anger tells you in your head. But it's not the truth.
Right.
Because you, almost every human being you interact with, especially if you find them to be reasonable, if you have a relationship with them, they have their side of things and you got yours. And most people ain't really interested in litigating who was right and wrong anyway. And there's gonna always be somebody that doesn't think you were right. So you will have done nothing but aired out your dirty laundry, aired out their dirty laundry for no reason. Cause most people aren't gonna be like, that was clearly wrong. Most people are about as faithful to morality as the people they like. So if people like you more, guess what? They gonna see your side of it. If people like them more, they gonna see their side of it. If people, you know, the contrarian niggas gonna pick the contrarian point of view. Like, all you did was just exhaust a bunch of energy to a bunch of people that ultimately don't give a fuck.
They don't care. You are a form of entertainment.
Yeah, we used to have stuff like people would talk bad about us on the podcast. And I mean, it's like I said, it's a maturity thing, because there used to be times I'm like, I need to confront this issue. I need to tell people our side of this stuff. Like, this is fucked up. And ultimately, it's like everybody that fuck with you and that sees the fucked upness of it, they already know. Like, they already like, yeah, you right, and we know you right, we saw what happened. And everybody that don't fuck with you and don't agree with you, guess what? They just stay not fucking with you and not agreeing with you.
Right, so nothing changes.
Right, even if they feel like you got a point, they never gonna come to you and be like, you got a point, man. I actually used to feel this way, but now I feel that way about you. For the most part, they not gonna fuck with you still. That's just kind of how it is. And in the meantime, at the center of all this, you've expended all this wasted energy.
Right.
That you could have been using for yourself.
And putting it into positive things, mm-hmm. and just enjoying life. Because a lot of times you can get so wrapped up in stuff that it's small and simple things that happen around you. And actually joyous things that happen around you. But you can be so wrapped up in your own world, you'll miss these joyous things because you're so focused on pouring your energy and your time and your effort into something that's not fruitful. And a lot of times a simple conversation most of the time can actually end and squash a lot of the confrontation that you have with most people.
I'm slowly learning that reacting to things that upset you gives someone else power over your emotions. You can't control what others do, but you can control how you respond and how you handle it, how you perceive it, and how much of it you want to take personally. I'm slowly learning that most of the time these situations say nothing about you and a lot about the other person. I'm slowly learning that maybe all these disappointments are just there to teach us how to love ourselves, because that will be the armor and the shield we need against the people who try to bring us down. That's true too, man. I feel like, especially being able to do this podcast, and like it has taught me some, I've had more time to be able to love on myself and take care of myself and think about, you know, how I want to react to things and think, like, and to have like a level of confidence that I definitely that you just don't get when you're being worn down by the world every single day.
Right.
And it does put a lot of shit into perspective where I'm just like, that's not important, or I'm not gonna let this thing get to me. It's not as big a deal as I thought it was. You know, stuff like that. When, you know, it would have been a time where I would have been angry about something or sad about something or disappointed about something. It doesn't mean you don't feel those emotions, but not to the point that they interrupt my life. Like, it used to feel that way with certain things where I'm like, why can't I make this person understand? And then you get to a point where you're like, I'm a good person. I do the best I can. You know, I operate the way I operate. Me and everybody ain't gonna be friends. Me and everybody ain't gonna get along. And I can only control my side of that.
Right. And particularly if you know that you are a reasonable and logical person.
Everyone thinks they are, though.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And that goes back to most people are assholes. I would continue to say that. And everybody thinks they're a good person, even a lot of times when they're not. But, you know, from my perspective, I say that from there. From my perspective, if I know I acted reasonably, because sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I fucked up. Yeah, that was me. You know, but you have to have a side of you that understands that you fucked up. But you have some people that they're fucking lunatics, where they go, everything is everybody else's fault, and I never do nothing wrong because I am always right because it's about me. You're insane. You know, let's just keep that. People don't want to admit that. And when you come against people like that, when you have, that's what I say, you can't have a conversation. You can have a conversation with most people and squash it. But people like that, you can't have a conversation with, because they've already determined that they're right and you're wrong, and you got to let that shit go.
Yeah, and I think also it's an ugly thing for people to hear, because a lot of times people feel, when people say stuff like this to other people, it's normally to be dismissive.
Correct.
Like, oh, well, you chose to be offended by that or some shit like that. And you're like, now you're trying to belittle my fucking emotions and my humanity, like it doesn't count and all that stuff. And I don't think it's about that, but I do think you controlling your reactions and controlling the way you react to things and perceive things, that is on your side of the things you get to do in your life. You get to control that. And a lot of times, you know, we should always be allowed to be human, but a lot of times you have to look at why you're repeating certain patterns.
Yes.
You know, like, if every 3 to 4 months we're gonna have the Breakfast Club did an interview that was terrible and everyone needs to boycott them and shut them down and why are they even on the radio, if every 3 months we're gonna have that, I don't need to be involved, because they're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter what they say. And ultimately, what they say is just their opinions. It doesn't affect my life. Mm-mm. And honestly, most people are going to continue to keep listening and watching, even though I don't.
Yes, they are.
So every time they do something, it will be newsworthy, because there's a lot of people either lying or a lot of people that tune in for the car wreck episodes while saying that they shouldn't do them. Right? But the only time you click play on that YouTube video, the only time you share it, the only time you talk about it, the only time you raise them up is when something fucked up happens. I mean, I don't know how many episodes they do a week or a year, but let's say they do 200. If 175 of those interviews and all that stuff go fine by most standards, like nothing controversial happens, they do a good interview, maybe they say some quote unquote questionable problematic shit, but not enough for people to get mad, but they have 5 interviews a year that piss everybody off, the 5 interviews a year are the ones that keep the 100 and whatever boring interviews. That's what keeps them floating.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I had to understand that. I didn't start understanding that till like last year, and I'm like, oh yeah, why is everybody so mad about blankety blank when they're like, nothing's going to be done about them? But also, that nigga gets to say his stupid ass opinion, and you have to step back and be like, that's his stupid ass opinion. But it doesn't have to affect mine, you know? It doesn't have to make me mad. It doesn't have to make me react. It doesn't, like, we knew they were stupid before this shit started. You can think they're stupid. You can think they're brilliant. You can do whatever you want to, but the reaction part is on you. You know what I mean? All the histrionics, all the, we not gonna do this, that, and the other. I just think I've been trying to approach things like that, because the unspoken part of this is all this acting out and shit, it gets to you.
Yes.
It's energy that you're giving up for things that should matter to you. Your home life, your diet, your exercise, your planning out for, you know, your business shit, your career, your job stuff, your, you know, your family time, like all this stuff that we just expend this energy, and the energy, we're all finite resources. You spend that energy all day, you know, making a point about something that people don't really want to listen to, and then bam, you get home, you got a headache. You're like, where does headache come from?
Right. You get home, you're sick. You get home, you're burning a fever. Like, because that stuff actually physically affects your body.
Right.
And, you know, and for me, it's just one of those things where I deal with enough of stuff in real life, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm not going to be stressed out about something. If I think about it long enough, at the end of the day, ain't going to motherfucking matter.
Yeah. And then also taking it back to real life, quote unquote, to personal, that's also kind of a Zen approach, but it's kind of how you have to deal with personal shit too.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? You have somebody that gets mad at you. You have somebody that confronts you about some shit and that you're like, hey, that's not what happened, whatever. At some point, there's nothing I can do.
Right. And
so I gotta let that person go through whatever the fuck they going through. I can only control my side of it. Like, I'm not gonna escalate it. I'm not gonna get defensive about it. I'm not gonna harass you. I'm not gonna seek you out. I'm not gonna fucking you work through whatever the fuck you gotta work through, and I'll be here chilling the way I was chilling before whenever you arrive. But I've done the part that I can do. You know, that's an important thing, lesson to learn. It's just, you learn it when you learn it.
Right. And different people learn at different ages, and different people learn at different times. And yeah, I try my best in most situations to really approach things like that. Because, no, I can't control you, but what I can control is how I respond to you. What I can control is how much of my life do I invest in you. That's what I can control. Because I even have, like, real-life family members that to be on that bullshit. I'd be like, I'm good.
Right. And you know what's wild for me is that a lot of this realization for me, this seems so silly to say, but I'm so serious, came from Lipstick Alley, man. When you just see, like, I remember when people had that bourbon ball shit, and that there was, like, threads on Lipstick Alley that people were, like, linking to and screenshotting, and they were mad at Lipstick Alley, like, don't talk about me, motherfucker. And I'm like, wow, like, you know they gonna talk about you anyway.
Yes, they are.
You can either react or don't react. That's the only choices you get. But then it's not like they're just gonna laugh at the fact that you're reacting.
Yes.
You know, like, and they're gonna be like, and the reason your business is over here is because either we know it or someone said it or something like this, like, we're just laughing at you the way you laugh at Love and Hip Hop every Monday, you know. And I'm not saying that it's not cruel or whatever. You know, as someone who's been what we do for a living, we've been the subject of people that have either been trolls or been cruel or been like, you know, the most unkindest, meanest version of, like, how they feel about you or whatever.
Right.
And you just have to learn, like, at some point, like, I can either feed this or not feed it. You know? And I think that's one of the things that happens also just in life. You can either feed that shit or you cannot feed that shit. You know, like, oh, me and this person, when I play basketball, me and Justin talk about this all the time on pregame. I have a positive attitude to basketball court for the most part. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly just because I want to have a good time.
Right.
And so I bring it into the room with me, mm-hmm. rather than let the room dictate how I'm going to feel that day.
Come on.
You know what I mean? So I'll tell Justin, I know it sounds from a hippie shit, but I mean it. It's like we all have big ass, like, spears around us, like our spear of influence. Mm-hmm. And I try to keep mine positive. And I think our energies affect other people's energies. And when you bring in a positive energy, you normally can take somebody that's negative and turn them positive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like how people online can feel one way, but when they meet you in real life, they don't say that shit. Cause they can feel it. They like, this person is not the bad guy I painted them to be in my head, mm-mm. but I need them to be that because whatever's not happening in my life. I need enemies. I need bad people. I need someone to blame everything on. I need to look at your opinions and match them up to mine and take you to task for them and shit like that.
Right.
Well, at the end of the day, it's like, there's only so much you can do.
Only so much you can do. And what I've realized, particularly about life and living, if you live long enough, somebody's gonna always have something to say about you for the fact that you breathe. Somebody's gonna always have something positive or negative to say about you. And a lot of people have not come to the realization that a lot of the negative shit people say about you, you have to let it go, because a lot of the energy that you waste into that negativity is energy that is spent into something that is not fruitful for you. And a lot of times when you waste energy searching and seeking and calling people out and causing these confrontations with people off of something negative that they said about you, all it does, it feeds that negativity, and it affects your life. It makes you sad and makes you depressed because you're feeding into a lot of that negative energy. So I had to learn that people are going to talk about me no matter what. I can't control what they say. I can't control what they do. I can't control that. And since I can't control that, what I can control is how I respond to those things.
Yeah. You make that person powerful when you center on the fact that they don't approve, or they don't interact, or they won't let, you know, whatever, like their judgment of you, you make them powerful,
right?
You know, it's like how people use guilt as a weapon against folks, like, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then think I'm a bad person,
you know what,
because if that's what you need to think, you need to look at me and think that I'm some type of bad person, your enemy, I'm fucked up, I'm not perfect, I'm flawed. Think that, because you'll find freedom in that. But more importantly, I have found freedom in knowing that I did the best I could and you just didn't like it, you know. And when I realized that, it's not just for me, by the way, it's how I've tried to view other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's why, you know, to some people they might think I'm more forgiving or whatever, but I'm not really. Just, it's not about being more forgiving, it's just about the idea of like, how much power am I gonna give one person?
Come on,
you know what I mean? Like, oh, so and so got to be the speaker at this event and they didn't pick so and so. How much power am I going to give this one person? I can't give them all the power. You know what I mean? At some point I have to be like, well, that's a choice that was made, and I'm still going to make my black ass life the best I can. You know, the other thing I would bring up, I remember when I used to, my last job I had, and I remember talking about this on the show at the time. And I didn't have a word for it at the time, but I think I do now, which is that I hated that job.
Yes,
it was very
did.
Depressing. It was very demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
But I just changed my attitude about it. You know, like, I would go to work and I would be like, well, I'm going to be positive despite the fact that everyone else at this job hates this job. It wasn't just me. You know, my boss acted like he hated his job. No one there loved what they were doing. Nobody. And I think it freaked people out a little bit, because we would get like, hey, we have emergency overtime this weekend, we have to do this thing for the weekend, and it's gonna be this much people required, and everybody, if we do it, it could be anywhere from 5 to 8 hours, da 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 da, overtime, blah blah. And we get this email, and you can look down the row of cubicles and everything, everybody's like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. This is my weekend.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to do something Saturday morning. I'm not, you know, people would try to ask out, I want to do this thing, I want to do that thing. And so, and I hated it too. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. But then, I just remember one time they asked, and I was like, this is exactly how I went. Wouldn't it be funny if I really wanted to come in and do this work? I would kind of be trolling people because I don't really want to do it, but I'm gonna just make it positive. So I would start being like, hey, we get to work Saturday, man. I get to see y'all an extra day. I can't wait. And they would laugh, you know, because they
right.
knew I was joking.
Correct.
But it also made it more of a positive thing. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, you start bringing stuff in.
I started bringing in like Chick-fil-A mini biscuits. I bring in donuts sometimes. So now, not in addition to like coming in at 7 o'clock on a Saturday,
right.
I'm getting up at like 6:15 on a Saturday or whatever, leaving the house at 6:15, stopping by Chick-fil-A, ordering Chick-fil-A biscuits enough for the 6-7 whatever people showed up,
right?
And just like, everybody here, have a biscuit, you want
brighten up their day.
And people were like, oh, you know what, thanks, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. we gotta be there anyway,
right? You got to be there.
We are getting paid time and a half, you know, which was, you know, good. People need the money and stuff, and it's not like if we do a shitty job, we'll just be in there next weekend,
right?
So let's just come in there and do the best we can. And so I changed it in my mind to be a positive thing, and and it didn't happen often. Like, it was probably like once every 2 or 3 months we'd have to do one of these right. Saturdays. But every time I was just like, fuck it, yes, I'm doing it. We're gonna have a good time and whatnot. And you know, I could tell from my coworkers, I could tell from even the boss that they was appreciative of the fact that it was like, yeah, we don't have to be miserable. You know, we had a conference call we used to do. People would call from India. And so they would speak English, but they had Indian accents, right?
Right.
You know, we are looking at the report, my friend, you know, like that, mm-hmm. right? And so I had a positive attitude about it. But the people in my, at my job, they were very xenophobic, very xenophobic. And, you know, I brought it up in the conference call a couple of times, because then, like, after the conference call, we had, like, another 5 minutes of all the American workers just shitting on the Indian workers, like, I can't understand nothing they be saying, da 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 da. And I said, I can understand.
They're speaking English.
I said, the same way I can understand a person with a southern accent. Like, they just got an accent, but we know what they're talking about, because we're all talking about the same shit at work. Like, I don't understand why y'all can't understand. And my thing was, oh, they just have a negative attitude.
Right.
They don't want to understand them. They want to go, these people are different.
Mm-hmm.
They're working for less money than us. They're taking our jobs, you know, right. that kind of shit. And that was the end all be all of it. So I actually became the liaison for the meeting, as if I learned how to speak like fucking Bangladeshi or whatever. I didn't, they were just speaking English with an accent.
Right.
I just was determined not to let it be a negative experience. So I would go in the meeting and be like, you know, they were like, you know, we do have the reports. They would just be there by 5 or whatever. And they'd be like, what'd he say? Like, they hit the mute on there and look at me like, what'd he say? What kind of, and I'm like, y'all know y'all understood that shit. But I'd be like, yeah, they gonna have the reports. They'll be in by 5. And, you know, every once in a while you get someone with a thick accent, you'd be like, hey, can you repeat that again?
Right.
You know, and when I say, can they repeat that thing again? They would mute our side of conversation, look at me, make a face like, ugh, okay, don't you hate this? I'm like, nah, no. It's a little reprieve from my desk job.
Right. Got to be here.
I got 30 minutes to come in here. We're actually accomplishing something. This is going to make our jobs easier. The better they understand what we do, the better we understand what they do.
Right.
You know, cause they had, you know, a different place in the country. So they work in a different shift. We come in the morning, boom, they already did all that stuff.
Right.
They did it the way we wanted to. It was all a positive experience to me. But I really am convinced it was just an attitude change. It wasn't it wasn't some like, oh, these, you know, like our rock is the Indian whisper. No, it wasn't that, you know? Back on this, when it said, you gotta love, take that. I'm slowly learning that maybe all these disappointments are just there to teach us how to love ourselves, cause that will be the armor and the shield we need against people who try to bring us down. They will save us when people try to shake our confidence or when they try to make us feel like we're worthless. I'm slowly learning that even if I react, it won't change anything. It won't make people suddenly love me and respect me, and it won't magically change their minds. That's the word. Sometimes it's better to just let things be, let people go. Don't fight for closure, don't ask for explanations, don't chase answers, and don't expect people to understand where you're coming from.
Come on, don't fight for closure. It is so many people out there listening to my voice right now. You have given somebody control over your life, because I'm being guilty of this, because you want motherfucking closure. Get your ass up and goddamn shut that door and move on with your motherfucking life. Because there, we never give you the closure that you want. You won't close it, I will. There's a lot of doors that I've had to close, a lot of windows that I've had to close in my life, because I said, I can't be sitting here fucking waiting on you to give me some closure and to apologize. I got to do it for myself. Sometimes that closure is you, because you act like they're the only person that can move and shift the situation. You can too. And I'm saying this because I know people listen to my voice right now. You're hurting and you're in pain for various different things because somebody has done something to you. Get your ass up and close it yourself.
Right. And not to mention, like, people that are emotionally manipulative and emotionally abusive, they know what they're doing. They take the closure from you.
Right.
You know what I mean? They want to make sure that you don't get it, because they know that people need that, or we feel like we need that. But closure is, you know, closure is what you make it.
Is what you make. You make it.
I might not get that conversation I feel I deserve. I might not get that reasoning. I might not get the chance to discuss whatever went wrong. It's what I make it. It's where I choose to put it down. So if I say, look, I've done everything I can with this, I'm putting it down, I'm not going back, that was it. That was the closure. You know, people really rely on that shit. They come back to you months later. They come back to you and say shit like nothing ever happened. Nah, fuck that. It was done when you decided that you didn't want to participate. What? We were done then. While you were gone, I closed it. I got my closure. You got to figure out how to get yours, because I'm not going to let it. Like I said, I don't want to give you that power. Because as long as I'm seeking something from you, you'll always have power in my life. And that's one of the reasons people don't want to give you closure. That's one of the reasons people don't want to have the conversations we all talk about needing, all that shit. That's one of the reasons they don't want to give it to you, because then you'll fuck around and not need something from them. As long as you need that closure, then you need me. You know? So yeah, peace is closed. You know, do your thing.
Right. And going back to something you said before about the manipulation, you know, and I'm saying this from personal relationships and relationships with family members, is one of those things where, like, you be in a situation and somebody will say something sideways to you or say something very negative to you. And a lot of times the family members sometimes are some of the people that you need to close those doors on. You need to close the doors quicker on them a lot of times, faster than anybody else, because they know you and they will keep stringing you along and they will keep fucking up your life and they will keep messing with your children's life and all this stuff. Sometimes you got to close them doors, but like, I got shit to do and I will not. I'm tired of you talking about my weight every time I see you. I'm tired of you talking about how I dress my kids and how my kids' hair is combed or how you don't like my natural hair. I'm tired of that. Like, you have to get to the point where you actually close the door and don't allow them to have that power.
And it doesn't always have to be something negative.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, because like I said, I've seen people do this thing where they do something fucked up to you. They don't talk about it. They don't want to whatever, right? 6 months later, it's, hey, what's up? How you doing? It's, oh man, are you coming to this party?
Yeah.
Bro, we don't talk. We're not friends, and like, we're not cool. You know what I mean? You did something fucked up. We never had a conversation about it. We don't communicate like that. You just move on and wipe the slate clean and whatever. I can't expect or wait on that from you, and I don't want to set myself up for that again. So I control my actions now. So it's like, all right, cool. You pop back up. I'm not really fucking with you. I'm not angry at you. There's no animosity. I'm not trying to do anything to you. I don't want to fight you. I'm not going to talk bad about you.
Nope.
But I don't have to allow you back in my life. I see how you operate. We're cool. That's like, I'm good on that. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, the power you give somebody is, because there's other people that would be like, oh my God, you're speaking again. This is an opportunity for us to eventually get to the discussion where we can figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. No, that's just giving them the power back.
Right. And also, it's one of those things where the transaction doesn't always have to be a negative transaction. Like, you can actually still be at peace and cool with the person at the end of the transaction, particularly if you are the one that did the closure.
Yeah. I'm slowly learning that life is better lived when you don't center it on what's happening around you and center it on what's happening inside you instead.
Come on.
Work on yourself and your inner peace, and you'll come to realize that not reacting to every little thing that bothers you is the first ingredient to living a happy and healthy life. Yeah, man, I think that's a big part of it. And I think, you know, when you add in social media to it and how there's a social capital in reacting all the time and everything gotta be like a dramatic fucking, like, let me write 17 paragraphs about, you know,
telenovela.
Yeah, why this thing happened and whatnot. Like, it, you know, there's something to it. Also, I do value the platform we have. So a lot of conversations I'm able to take here and talk to you about it and react with our audience, and I don't feel as like there's so many people trying to make sure there's a misunderstanding, you know, as opposed to, you know, sometimes with social media, sometimes with people you don't know and all this shit, you don't have as much leeway. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm glad to have this. We're very fortunate to be able to come here and say that kind of, you know, to be like, this is how I feel about this thing.
Right. And everything that you're reading is true, because doing a lot of these steps we've been talking about will actually make you a better person. And you know what you'll start doing? You'll start being happier. You'll start considering your health. Mm-hmm. You'll start being more intimate with your mate or your significant other. you'll start spending more time with your kids. You'll actually go reach out and start. You'll have time for family members that you dearly love that you don't get to talk to. You know, your old aunts and uncles that ain't on Facebook or Twitter, and the only way you can communicate with them, you have to take your ass over there and see them. You can find the time to do that now, because you're not putting the energy into fruitless conversations and into fruitless relationships.
Well, also just there's a level of, like, you just have to accept that shit just ain't fair.
Right.
It's just not gonna work out every time. It's not a sitcom. It's not a, we all learned a lesson and 30 minutes later it's neatly wrapped up. A lot of times just people are broken, fragile, you know, amorphous things, and we have to accept that, like, in each other. So that it's like, you know what, we're not gonna talk about it, and it's fine. Fuck it. Like, you don't want to talk about it, I'm not gonna stop my life and wait for it. I'm not gonna, you still talking shit about me, you know what, I'm gonna move on for me. And you let you be stuck there talking shit about me because you need that,
right?
Like, sometimes I had to realize that with certain folks, where I was like, oh, this person needs whatever it is that they think about me, they need that to be true for them to consider themselves a good person.
Right.
Because they don't like me and they got to justify it somehow. And they going to have a hard time, because guess what? I'm a likable ass nigga. And
you really are.
It's going to be real fucking difficult to convince the world that I ain't shit when everybody has had positive interactions. And why? Because I can control that. That's all I can control. That, you know, my side of it, how people perceive it, I can't control that. You know, what people's agendas are, can't control that. I can only control what I do with my next breath every day. That's the only thing I get to control. And like I said, realizing that shit really helped me in life, because there was shit like, I remember I used to, like, if someone used our hashtag talk shit about it, I'd be like, man, why would you do that? Like, just, and trying to understand, not trying to, like,
right,
demean them, to seek them out, because not to fight them,
mind ticks.
But you would talk to, I would talk to the person and I would be like, wow, there really was nothing I could do there.
Mm-mm.
Like, they just were like, fuck you, fuck everything, I don't like you, da da da. And I'm like, why did I care? Like, the next step was, well, why do I care? You know what I mean? I want to be loved, I want to be liked. I mean, I'm a human being, I don't want to cause any animosity in someone's life,
right?
But at the same time, why do I care about the people that you can't get? Because you looking at them and there's a bunch of people that, you know, you do get. There's a bunch of love in your life that you looking right past, obsessing over this one motherfucker. And that's the shit that you get robbed of, your energy and your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went out to eat this morning for Karen's birthday for brunch, and kind of last night for dinner, but for brunch we went out and we met a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, you know what I mean? Like, he came over and was like, hey, I don't mean to interrupt y'all's breakfast, but do y'all have a podcast? I was like, that is an odd question to ask. Yes, we do.
Yeah, yes.
Why, indeed, sir. You know, and he was like, yeah, I'm a big fan, da da da, and we got to, like, talk to him for a little bit. We took a picture with him.
Mm-hmm, like, it was, there was grandparents or great grandparents.
Yeah, I meant to really put that picture. I promise tonight I'm gonna post a picture and tag him to it. I don't know how I fucking forgot that quick, but yeah, we took, like, a picture together and everything, and it was, like, a cool moment. And that's the kind of shit that you look past when you worried about why Troll X37 or why this nigga 15th account he just invented is still calling you a whack ass nigga, whatever. Like, that's the kind of shit that those people are hoping that they rob you of that joy,
because
that's the whole point of what they do, is to rob you of that moment. And that reaction they get is the only satisfaction they get out of it. You know, I try to control my reactions to where if it ain't fun for me, then I don't react. Like, cause I'll react to shit all the time if I'm a troll. You know what I mean? If I can make a joke out of it, oh, like, there's nothing better. There's no sweeter release than saying something funny to somebody right before you block them. No, there's nothing better. Everyone should try it. I don't know if you guys have done it yet. Y'all should all try it at least once. Just so, I mean, maybe other people don't have a lot of people coming at them, but, you know, someone says I say something like, well, look, man, if you don't think Black Lives Matter, then kiss my ass. And somebody's like, well, Black Lives Matter, and what about the kids in Chicago? And I'll be like, well, what about the guns in Wakanda, block? That's a good feeling. So,
oh, my sweet soul, that's my favorite one.
Yeah, like, something like that, got it. But in general, though, nah, I don't want you to rob my energy. You just a thief of energy, dog.
Yes, you are.
And you only get so much.
Because the thing is, that hurt people. That shit is real. People say that as a quote unquote cliche, but that's real. A lot of times they're trying to rob from you because something has been robbed from them. And what I've come to the place too is that I realize that sometimes just your existence, you intimidate people. Just you being around people intimidate people, and people just are gonna have a problem with you. And if you really ask them, they don't have no reason. Somebody even told me to my, they were like, just because you right. Bitch, I can't do nothing about that, all right? And I washed my hands of it,
right?
You know, like because I was like, you, I had to know. Now I'm like, fuck it, I don't give a fuck now. You know, I had to get to the point where I had to separate myself there and close those doors and not look for approval, because I can't give you that much control over my life.
And if we admit that everybody's flawed, then if any person obsesses about finding a flaw in somebody, they will find it.
Yes, they will.
That's the realization that I had, you know, a while back. It's just, well, of course you're looking for it. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell you a reason to dislike everybody that's doing their fucking best.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're gonna be that critical of other people, be that critical of yourself. Cause I guarantee you, whatever the fucking criticism you have of that person you don't get to control, you can control the shit that you find flawed in yourself.
Yes, you can.
And if you don't want to accept anyone else's flaws, you don't want to accept anybody else, you know, not being anything less than perfect, then apply that shit to yourself and see if you pass your own test. Cause most people don't.
No, they don't.
Like, when you meet them people that all they got is something fucked up to say about everyone and everything and all that, it's like, nigga, look at you though. You know what I mean? But like I said, I also realized at some point that's those people's fun.
Correct.
That's what they get. That's they fun for a lot of times. When you, like, you know, my whole thing is I point out that this TV show is terrible and that TV show is terrible. That's also how they have fun. It's not my fun, but it's how they have fun. So I had to let them slide too.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was a great article.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's a random show. Let's see what else is going on today. Snoop Dogg scored his first number one top gospel album.
I've been hearing that, and on the low, a lot of people been saying it's flame emojis. I haven't heard none of it.
Yeah, I don't listen to gospel music, so I don't know.
Can you play something for me?
Nope.
Oh,
I don't, not even Snoop, not even for Snoop.
I just want to hear it.
I hate all gospel music except for I Smile, and that's ironically. I don't like gospel music, y'all.
I didn't say you had to like it.
Mm-mm. I don't want to listen to it. All right, I'll try to find it for your birthday.
Thank you.
I'm looking for it, but man, I hate gospel music. I
haven't heard it.
Because even good gospel music is still corny. I mean, it's impossible not to be
right
talking about not sinning. It's all the not cool shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it is.
It's all the not cool shit. Snoop Dogg presents Bible of Love. Which song you want to hear? Thank You, Lord. Love You, God. Love for God. I always got something to say. Defeated. In the Name of Jesus. Going Home. Saved. Sunshine, Feel Good. Sunrise. Pure Gold, Pain, New Wave. God damn, how long is this shit? 32 songs? The fuck?
I didn't know. Like I said, I wanted to hear it. Cause
pick a number between 1 and 32.
Somebody said New Wave. Do New Wave, whatever New Wave is.
What number is that? Y'all been listening to this shit. Well, it is number one. New Wave featuring Mally Music.
Intro.
A change for the better. I'm reading your letter. There's love on the pages. There's love
like some John
on
Legend.
The pages. Right, wrong, same song. Your grace still sufficient. No shame.
This the one y'all picked to put me to sleep?
I know,
I
right?
I thought this nigga was gonna be crunk. It's Snoop.
I know. I mean,
oh my God. That was y'all's, that y'all got one chance, and that's the one y'all went with. All right.
I didn't know.
He got one with Charlie Wilson.
Let's hear that one.
Is Snoop even on this shit?
Right?
It's just one more day.
Come on, Charlie.
The Lord has kept me.
First of all, let me just say, I knew I could go to Charlie Wilson.
Come on!
I knew that in my soul. Like, I didn't need to double check that way. I can't believe y'all suggested something without not the Charlie Wilson.
I mean, y'all should have told me Charlie Wilson was on here. Yeah. We'd have played that one first.
That's a damn shame. Y'all really let us down today.
Don't rush, keep the pain. I'm focused on my goal. I need to tell the story. Yeah.
Come on, horn section.
Hey. So wait, is Snoop,
come on, Sopranos?
Is Snoop just like Kirk Franklin? Cause
right?
He hasn't done shit on this song yet. It's almost a minute in. He ain't even doing what Kirk do. Now somebody out there say,
one more day.
How many days, Lord?
One more day.
Just give me one more day.
One more day.
24 hours. One solar rotation. Actually, one solar rotation is a year. I apologize. I mean, one earth spinning around. When is Snoop even on these songs? Are y'all, is that why it's number one?
You know what? That
he's
really
not
might
on
be,
here to fuck it up.
That's why it's probably number one.
I'm skipping around. Man, it's like a playlist. He ain't even on this shit. What y'all talking about? What? Snoop out here still scheming, boy. That's why it's number one.
I was like, how the hell did he get the number one gospel album?
Right. You know, been out here sitting and messing up everything with them raps. You know he don't know how to rap clean. Girl, give me one more day up in that pussy. This is
but there was, I bet you there's like, no Snoop, we can't do that one.
D.O. double jizzle when we slipping on that crizzle.
There was like the
smoking on that chronic and you know I'm Dr. Drizzle.
There was like the choir can't do that one. Come on, Snoop. You know what you want to be number one gospel album?
I'm surprised it didn't go by Snoop Gotti God.
Yes!
Know? It's the G-O double D.
Thank
wait a minute.
Thank you for playing it for me. I won't
God only got one D. What you doing, Snoop? Back up off these NUTs and say Jesus please. Oh man. Anyway, good luck to everybody involved with that project.
When I guarantee you that's why it's number one then.
That must be. An Ohio fertility clinic failure destroyed 4,000 embryos, far more than first thought. That's a lot of sperm.
Say that again. So they didn't destroy the sperm?
Eggs. That's a lot of eggs.
Oh, they didn't destroy them?
It destroyed 4,000 embryos, which is more than they first thought it was.
Oh, so were they not supposed to?
They weren't. It's a fertility clinic. No, they weren't supposed to destroy any embryos.
That's
literally the opposite of what a fertility clinic does, Karen.
I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm with you now.
New York, a fertility. You sweet summer child. A fertility clinic outside Cleveland admitted Tuesday.
I was trying to put it together. It didn't make no sense.
Mm-hmm. admitted Tuesday that the failure to his freezer system was far more worse than originally thought.
Oh, so they had in the deep freeze and that shit was like, I'm broke.
Nearly 1,000 patients who have learned now that 4,000 eggs and embryos were destroyed March 3rd. In a new letter to patients, University Hospitals apologized again, saying the remote alarm system on the tank designated to alert a UH employee to changes like temperature settings was off.
Oh, and this is gonna mess people up, because a lot of times people do that and they save them. Mm-hmm. And wow,
they fried them eggs.
They did. I guess the mess is gonna be over easy.
I guess they are. Or as anti-abortion advocates would say, the worst massacre in USA history. I don't even know why I said right. That. It's not even a pun.
Right. I mean, what are they supposed to be sunny side up about the situation?
Well, it's probably pretty hard for them to get over it.
This situation had them scrambling.
No, I care. It's good to see you coming out of your shell. All right, I meant.
I wonder how many egg whites they had to use.
It is your birthday.
Ah, thank you.
You know. Oh wait, that was one actually. I wonder how they found out. How the press found out? Think somebody told them?
I don't know. Maybe they had somebody come and poach it.
I was thinking they might have had a traitor. You know, a real Eggs Benedict Arnold. At any rate, hospital officials said they don't know who turned the remote alarm off or how long it was disabled. They also said they were aware the tank in question needed preventative maintenance. Some of the eggs and embryos have been stored there since the 1980s.
Woo, I know them people mad.
Imagine you one of those rich, like, rich people that pay, like, you're like, well, I'm so rich, just in case y'all invent technology where I could be born again and put into a clone, take my embryos now and then store them here, and then in 3,000 years when we come up with the right technology, right, I will live forever. And then they'd be like, well, actually, you would have lived forever except for you know, we had accidentally left the heat on one day, so right. our bad. Right now, we do not know whether it's mechanical or human or a combination, said the chairman of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology.
Well, I guess those eggs do have an expiration date. Oh, I couldn't help myself, y'all. I'm
you
sorry.
Are shaking the carton.
Yeah, they should have got the see-through carton so they could have seen if the eggs had cracked.
I guess. I guess that counts. I don't know.
It does. I like to get the see-through cartons.
Okay. Anyway, they lost a lot of people's eggs. Let's just move on. I just thought this is cute. This is apropos of nothing. And if you're not in the chat, it probably really, it means even less to you than it's gonna mean to the people in the chat. But I don't give a fuck, cause it's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Cause Prescott Pharmaceuticals or whatever it was don't own us. Sinclair Channel don't own us. So
they don't. That's why I was like, what the hell is you reading?
We can do whatever the fuck we want with our black ass show. I just thought this was fucking adorable. Someone took Dr. Seuss put it to Migos, Walk It Like I Talk It.
Yes.
But they did Walk It In My Pocket. It's so good. They got the book and they flipping pages with the beat.
Okay.
And I'm playing the whole thing. It's too yeah. adorable.
Yeah. Dr. Seuss. Hey. Here we go. Walk it in my pocket. Did you ever have a feeling? There's a basket in your basket, or a neural in your bureau, or a wasit in your closet. Sometimes I feel quite certain there's a jerkin in the curtain. Sometimes I have a feeling there's a zap behind the clock, and that zap up on the shelf. I have talked to him myself. I set that zap up on the shelf. I have talked to him myself. That's the kind of house I live in. There's an ink up in the sink, and that zap up in the lamp, and they're nice. I really think some of them are friendly, like that yacht up in the pot, but that yacht will win the bottle. Some are friendly, some are not. Mama. Like that Zabel on the table and that gear under the chair, but that Bofa on the sofa, well, I wish he wasn't there. And those numbers in the cupboards, yeah, they're fun to have about, but that new brush on my tooper, see him, I could do without. And that one I'm really scared of is the bug under the rug. Said the one I'm really scared of is the bug under the rug. Damn. And that Quimley in the chimney, I don't like him at all, and it makes me kind of nervous when the Zossos down the hall. Mama. And the yips up on the steps, they are great to have around. They are many, many other friends that I have found. Like the Teller and the Miller, and the Geller and the Geller, and yeah. the Beller and the Weller, and the Zeller and the Seller. Huh. And that Gilly on the ceiling, and that Zower in my shower. And the pillow on my Zillow. I can talk to him for hours. I don't care if you believe it. That's the kind of house I live in. And I hope I never leave it. You can't come, you're forbidden. Come back.
I don't care if you believe it. That's the kind of house I live in. Yeah. And I hope I never leave it. You can't come, you're forbidden.
Walk it in my pocket. Seuss. That was amazing.
Oh,
I love being black so much,
like
man.
Like the Seuss was crunk.
You can never trade being black, dog. Like,
I wish I learned Dr. Seuss like that. I'd have memorized the shit then.
That's how they got us. I just keep choosing black. Keep coming back. Black people so innovative. Who knew Dr. Seuss had bars like that though?
Right?
I didn't know it rhymed like that. Like, they even had the end rhymes a couple times. I'm like, word? Are we doing this, Seuss?
Right, that's a bucket in my bucket. Yay!
Seuss! Ooh, mama! That's so good.
They're gonna make around. That's gonna be storming up the charts.
I know. All right, guys. Let's get to our games. I didn't do that one so early. Okay. Let's do this one. Sorry. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see who's fucking with us now. Fucking with me now. Fuck blacks. College under fire for refusal to discipline girls' racist posts. Michigan College is under fire for refusing to take action against a female student whose social media accounts are reportedly littered with racist taunts. Are you trying to tell me a young white woman would ever be so foul as to say racist things on social media?
Tell us how you really feel.
I don't know if I can believe that, Karen. I don't know.
Me either.
I mean, she might be innocent, Karen. She could have been framed. This could be all an inside job.
Her account could have been hacked.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she did it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I guess.
Think she allegedly did it.
Wonder what 50 Cent thinks.
I don't know, but she is of the
53%. He did that shit. Guilty as fuck.
I think that's what he thinks. Michigan State University students condemned the school's officials for what they believe has been an inadequate response to posts by sophomore Jillian Kirk, which includes one reportedly saying, God bless America, fuck the blacks. Another tweet, Kirk allegedly uses the N-word and once wrote, fuck niggers, I'm so over it. Her Twitter account has since been deleted. Wonder why.
The whole account?
Her whole account. School officials issued a statement Wednesday to the news site saying they don't condone racial harassment or bullying, but they do not get to control what every member of their community says. Kirk's post first started circulating on social media when freshman Mayanna Folks shared several tasteless screenshots Tuesday from Kirk's accounts. Let's play a game. It's called How Many Retweets Does This Girl Need Before MSU Kicks Her Out? In the screen grabs, Kirk appeared to claim she used to bully retards and called a man the N-word. Kirk responds to the backlash Thursday saying she apologizes for the inappropriate social media posts I made. Folks said she shared Kirk's post because she was frustrated there weren't any consequences after two complaints were filed against her. I just don't believe people like her should be allowed the privilege of becoming successful and being in a position of power. Also, MSU is legally allowed to kick her out, but they chose not to. Yeah, well, let me tell you something, folks. Welcome to suspension. Your ass is getting off campus, okay? You up here noticing racism, and you know that's the only thing we as black people are not supposed to be able to do. And your ass is gone, okay? I don't know what made you think you could make this happen, honestly. Well, you out here just outing white women as racist and thinking you're supposed to be allowed to be on the campus of Michigan State? Pack your shit, buddy. She said Kirk's posts are not her first offense and that she will continue to pressure administrators to consider disciplinary action against Kirk. Well, now she's a poor white victim. And your harassment, your targeted harassment of her, ain't doing nothing but bringing her down. And I'm not gonna stand for it. And I know Karen's not either. That's right, Karen.
I did not agree to this.
She should be required to do some sort of diversity training to attend this university, the post says. She told the post. Actions like this without consequence are unacceptable because people begin to realize nothing will happen to them.
Nothing won't, and she's still gonna go off and be successful. She a white woman.
Right, MSU don't care. They just talk a good game. Not even really a good game, but they just talking. 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
Okay, Karen goes 100. I'm gonna go with 100 as well. I will match her 100.
Thank you.
South Carolina school board member busted for telling black woman to go back to Africa.
Oh, they love that trope. Y'all need to get a little bit more creative.
Well, I think they're trying to get more specific if we just fill out this damn census.
Where in Africa? You know,
right.
Africa ain't a country, right?
Go back to North Sudan. Oh, thank you. That is where I'm from. I didn't know you knew. Well, I care. Okay, I look up the DNA history of everyone I tell to go back to Africa. Mm-mm. Citing poor health, a South Carolina school board member abruptly resigned his position over the weekend after he was busted for making racist comments on Facebook.
Yeah, you got poor health now. Mm-hmm. You ain't have poor health before you made that comment, right?
You ever say something so racist you just start coughing? That ever happened to y'all?
That racist cough? Right.
Why don't you go back to Africa, you poor... Oh, man, I'm going to have to resign. This is a big one, okay? Mm-hmm. Then telling the black woman and complain that she should go back to Africa. According to WIST-TV, Lexington, one school district board member Grady Harmon responded to a post on a Facebook page called The Newly Press, stating, why is it okay for every race to be proud of their heritage except for white people? Wonder why.
When white people are proud of their race, everybody else dies.
I mean, I just say look up some white pride organizations and you tell me what your problem is.
Other people die. Oppression happens. Mm-hmm. Happens throughout history. Internment camps. That's what happens.
All I'm saying, Karen, look
slavery.
Up.
Slavery. You know.
Look up all the organizations. I mean, because they exist, right?
Yeah, they do.
Look up all the organizations dedicated to white pride. Tell me what they're about.
Racism.
I'm not asking you this rhetorical question.
Oh, my bad.
Karen. I know you know. But I'm not even talking racism. I'm talking further than that. Like, black pride is like, hey, you're beautiful. Hey, the world tries to tell you you're ugly, but you're not ugly. Hey, the world tries to say that, you know, your melanin makes, the more melanin you have, the less attractive you are. The world calls you stupid. They say you're not able to be educated. They say you shouldn't be, they call you lazy, unemployable. Well, have pride in your blackness. That's not true. That's what black pride is. You know what I mean? It's combating stereotypes, things of this nature, right? White pride is, we should have our own country where no brown people are allowed to live. One of these things is not like the other. You know? Like, yeah. can't use that example on everything. Like, it's, do you, we have perfect organizations. You can go look up and be like, this is what white pride means. So this is why we can't, we not a quote unquote allowed to be prideful. You know, what about German pride? Are we like advocating for German pride?
You not woke. Wakanda, everybody had guns.
Right. That's the only thing. Well, Wakanda, we had black pride. In Wakanda, everybody had guns. But y'all not woke, so y'all don't understand. But other than that. Nope. But yeah, according to the report, other commenters argue with Harmon, who has since deleted his comments, but not before screenshots of his responses were shared on social media. Screenshots are forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Screenshots are forever.
Mm-hmm. Get that.
How has no one ever done that before? Am I the first person to do that? To do diamonds are forever, screenshots are forever?
Come on.
I feel like that should have already, someone should make a parody video with a song and everything. I feel like.
Oh, there'll be flames.
Screenshots are forever is a jam already, and it hasn't even been.
In the making, right?
Hasn't even been invented yet, but I mean, I feel like we already,
Come on, with that beat, it'll be flames.
Right. I feel like we're already there, so let's just, go ahead and mock that up, guys. Screenshots are forever. Oh, I cracked me up, guys.
I'm here for it.
Even if y'all don't get it. He got sick after this and had to quit his job because, you know, he said some things in the screenshots, told the truth. You know, if it wouldn't have been no screenshots, he could have just deleted them posts, social media posts. Guess what he would have done? Not been sick and came to work on Monday.
Come on.
Right? I mean, I can't be the only one thinking that if the motherfucking evidence wouldn't have still been on Twitter and shit, his white ass would have been showing up to work like, what tweets? I would never say something. Go back to Africa. Who do you think I am?
Right.
Who I would never.
I have black family members.
Right. Some of my best slaves are black. Okay. Some of my favorite dead civil rights figures are black, and I take exception to you implying anything else.
Come on.
And then that black woman pulled out, screenshots are forever.
Come on.
They won't leave in the night. Have no fear that they might desert me.
Come on. Screenshots are forever. Hey, screenshots are forever. I'm here for that.
Oh, man. Mm-mm-mm. But yeah, good luck to him in his new endeavors, because I'm sure he'll land on his feet because he's a white man.
Right.
So I'm sure it's all going according to plan. He'll be managing a business of that involves managing people that are brown and black at some point.
Yes.
But yeah, he said it was personal reasons, which include that of his health and the health of his immediate family members, why he had to leave. Damn, everybody sick because he racist?
Everybody is sick because they got to answer the questions too.
That racism made my wife come down with cancer. We got to go. I got to go.
It's a racism sickness going around. Y'all right. Better cover it up. Y'all going to get that racism flu.
But honey, I'm feeling fine. I didn't say anything racist. Bitch, you sick. I mean... I guess we're both sick. It's like, yes, we both got it. It's going around.
You can't go to work.
Yeah, just say that. You know that. You know what else that means? Because I would also bet money he tried to ride it out, and the school board was like, "Nah, dog.
Right?
It's a no." Well, I can't. I don't want to get fired. I can't have that on my record. I mean, you can resign, but you definitely can't bring your racist ass back up in here.
Mm-mm. Because we don't want to deal with the backlash.
Hulk Hogan says, oh wait, 100 for me.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan says he owes all wrestlers an apology, not just the black ones. all apologies matter, y'all. Listen, I might have said black people are niggers, but I want to apologize first and foremost to the white people that had to hear me say that. Okay? The precious white little snowflake ears. I'm so sorry to disappoint y'all. Yep. Hulk Hogan says all wrestlers he owes an apology for his past use of the N-word. Said it shouldn't just be black guys he has to say sorry to. He was at LAX and wanted to get his thoughts on the WWE Hall of Fame, and then they got asked about that. And he's supposed, if before he can be reinstated, Mark Henry said, who's also a wrestler, said Hogan need to apologize to the black performers. And Hogan was like, I agree that I need to apologize, but I need to do it across the board. Mm-mm. I totally agree with him. Not to the black wrestlers, to all the wrestlers. That what I said was way out of line. I'm forever sorry for that.
He didn't offend the white wrestlers, so what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah, also, it's funny, right? A black person is telling you how they feel about a thing and what actions you need to take to address it. And you go, I'll take it from here, buddy. I think I know how to do an apology.
Right, because we're never heard. Like, we can actually tell you how to fix the issue. You be like, I know better, fuck it.
Yep, I just thought it was funny, but yeah.
Oh, that always happens, and then wonder why they still mad. Yes, motherfucker, because we told you and you didn't listen.
0 to 100, Karen.
100, fuck him.
All right, 100 as well. Brooklyn Museum welcomes 2 new curators for African art. That's good news, right?
It is.
We always use more curators.
These are the people that actually walk around and do the exhibits and tell you what it's about, right?
Yeah, they're curators. I think they like also decide what goes in the film, in the museum.
Okay.
Things of that nature.
Okay.
So
they're kind of the experts, right? I'm assuming that's what they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Christian Windmiller Luna will rethink the Brooklyn Museum's extensive African art collection and organize new temporary installations. And Drew Sawyer will oversee the photography collection and reimagine its role within the museum. See? Good news. So finally some good news on fucking with black people, right? Why are you shaking your head like that, Karen? What is wrong?
Because it ain't here for nothing. What's up?
On your birthday, you will act this way?
It ain't. The segment don't change it because of my birthday.
I mean, are you not in the chat? You're not in the chat. You just on there on Facebook. Just chilling, doing your thing, playing games. Okay, we have a serious podcast to run over here, birthday or not, so let's get back in the chat. The Brooklyn Museum just announced the appointment of 2 new curators, Kristen Windmiller Lunner, a curator and historian of African arts and architecture, has been appointed to the Seals Family consulting curator, African art, and Drew Sawyer has been appointed to Philip Leonian and Edith Rosenbaum Leonian curator of photography.
They thought this was
gonna, so good news.
They thought this was going to go over well.
Well, why wouldn't it go over well, Ken? What forever could you be referring to?
These folks is white.
What? Now, see, I've been looking at this article the whole time. I didn't even notice that because I don't see race.
Whatever.
Okay? Like, I don't see race so much, I don't even know what the Fast and Furious movies are about.
They're going to fuck around and get some vibranium and going to get it stolen.
I don't understand Talladega Nights. I watched the whole movie. I said, what is this? There were certain scenes that are just missing from my memory because I don't see race. Okay. That, yes, Karen. It happens for some of us. It's not hung up on making everything about race. Okay.
Who are you? Where's my husband?
I'm just saying, you know,
you need to pick up some of that lotion beside you.
I'm good. No, I don't need no lotion. I'm not ashy. I'm saying I'm above all this. I don't see race.
You ain't above
like
ash.
Like some of you people. So I could not have possibly known these people were white.
You looking at the pictures? What did we talk about?
I just see 2 faces of human beings, guys. Okay?
That are white.
And human beings should be allowed to do all things human. And I think all agree there.
Technically, yes.
That's correct. Exactly.
Technically, mm-hmm. Yes. But the reality of that is not true.
Well... when I like a lot of you guys, your favorite athlete for the Olympics is Jackie Joyner Kersee. I never saw her because I don't see race. I don't even know what she's famous for.
Who is you?
So yeah, they appointed 2 white people, and I think people are upset by it because you know.
Yes.
you know, everybody's feeling they Killmonger on when he said, how y'all ancestors get these artifacts? You think they paid for them? But I'm gonna tell you something. I think it's also, it makes me curious if it's an endemic problem.
You know what?
If, like, from the ground up of people being trained to be curators, who gets let in, what social circles you have to be in. Mm. I wonder how big of a problem it is and if it's also dealing with that.
I can guarantee you it is. And I bet you it's probably something that goes through the curators across the country, and a very, very, probably little to none are brown. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have African American art probably with no African American people actually making the decisions and the choices.
Well, I mean, as long as we have a diversity of opinion, I feel like that is true diversity, right?
That's not a diversity of opinion.
Karen, I'm looking at this picture, okay? She's a brunette, he's a blonde. That's diversity, okay? So I think, you know, before we start saying stuff like it's not diverse, when you have two white people with different color eyes and different, oh, it won't let me go live. What the fuck? Try to smoothly go to the next section, and I got the error that I can't go live.
You want to start the third session, Dan?
Let me try refreshing real quick, and we'll start that. Oh my God, why does it do this, Karen?
I have no idea. Like, have you contacted them about this?
No, I have not.
Please do.
I will,
because it's an ongoing issue.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
And God, we ain't on the freebie. We pay, so motherfucker needs to work.
Right. Yep. I'll send them an email. I'm not doing anything different than what I normally do, so I don't know. I was thinking maybe it's because the start time isn't the right time. I don't know. Try this one more time. Okay. It just said I was live. Nope. All right. Let me try a new session real quick, Karen. Give me one second.
And then I copy it over.
Yeah. Oh, good grief. The white man. That's how they do you. all right. But yeah, I mean, obviously it obviously is not look good to the eye that some white people is in charge of curating the African art. I mean,
no.
That's pretty, you know, obvious to say. But, also, like I said, I just wonder how big that problem goes. Cause normally by, like, that might really be, I wonder what the pickings are. Like, are they slim pickings? Are they not? I don't know. Oh my God, it won't let me go live with the next session either.
What is happening here?
What is going on?
I have no idea. Yeah, this is a problem.
Oh, all right. Let me pause this real quick. Hold on. All right. So Crowdcast just quit on us. We cannot do the live chat right now. Won't let us go live.
Nope.
I have to email them about technical difficulties. We'll figure it out. I'm highly pissed, and I'm sorry for all the people live that didn't get to finish the show out. We're just gonna go ahead and do Sword Ratchetness and end the episode, and I'm gonna email them and see if I can get somebody to work on this. Taiwan, samurai sword attacker, has been jailed for 7 years. A man who used a stolen samurai sword to attack a guard outside Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen's office last year, carrying notes threatening to behead her, was sentenced on Thursday to 7 years in prison for attempted murder.
Oh.
Yeah, that actually seems like a short period of time.
It does.
Carrying the flag of China, Lu Chun-yi, slashed the military police guard who was trying to prevent him from entering the complex in the neck, hand, and face area.
Woo!
And then he got arrested. Lu is in detention since August 18th attack. He has said he wanted to fly the Chinese flag in the presidential office, and he was carrying a handwritten note threatening to behead Tsai. In the notes, prosecutor said Lu also expressed the hope that Beijing will make Taiwan a part of China again. Beijing still sees self-ruled Taiwan as part of its territory awaiting reunification, even though they split in 1949 after a civil war. The island relations with China have deteriorated since Tsai took power in 2016, and she has refused to agree to Beijing's stance that Taiwan is part of one China. The defendant was aware that slashing another person in the neck with a samurai sword could cause death, but intentionally did it and inflicted physical and emotional injuries, the Taipei District Court said in a verdict. Prosecutor said Lou tried to portray himself as a martyr and showed no remorse for the attack.
Oh.
Responding to the attempted murder charge, however, Lou denied that he tried to kill the guard. Lou, 51, was also convicted of 5 lesser charges, including theft, as he stole the samurai sword from a military history museum by smashing the display case with a hammer. He can appeal the ruling. The sword is carved with the phrase, Nanjing Battle. This sword killed 107 people.
Oh.
And is believed to have been used by samurai soldiers during the Nanjing Massacre in 1937. The presidential office complex and its surroundings in the center of the capital of Taipei have been the target of attacks before. In 2014, a driver tried to smash his vehicle into the front door of the nearby presidential residence several months after a man rammed a huge truck through a bulletproof screen and into the main gate of the presidential office.
Well, damn.
Yeah, they trying, all men too, but they trying to get this woman, huh?
Right.
All
right,
guys, that's it for today. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Hopefully it'll be fixed by tomorrow.
Yes.
When we should have Andy and Randolph of the Three Guys On podcast tomorrow. So.
Yay.
See you guys at 7, according if all things go right. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.